morning and turn to Luke chapter number 24. And as you're turning there, I know I preached out of Luke 24 last week, amen, and I actually preaching out of the same text, but a completely different message this morning. And in 15 years, I've only done this twice at Fellowship Baptist Church, but it's the direction the Lord wanted me to go. And as I was putting it together, I said, now, Lord, I preached out of that same text last week. And he said, that's okay, it's going to be completely different today. Are you sure? And he said, yeah, it's going to be different. I really wanted to do something else. The Lord said, no, this is what I want you to do. And I said, all right, well, I'm in the business of obeying you and doing what you say. So that's exactly what we're going to do. So Luke 24, if you look at verse 13, that's where we started last week. Let's do it again this week. And Luke 24, say amen if you found it. Amen. All right, Luke 24, verse 13, it says, and behold, two of them went the same day to the village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 80 furlongs, and they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass, while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have one another as ye walk and are so sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleophas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass in these days? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death, and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And besides all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it, even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, excuse me, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter in his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone further. But they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is not these things that he is. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he said, he took bread and blessed it and brake it and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. Now that's where we're going to take our text this morning. And it says their eyes were opened. Their eyes were opened. And that's what I want to preach on this thought this morning, that their eyes were opened. You know what my prayer is? That God would open all of our eyes. You know, a person cannot come to God unless their eyes are open. And a person cannot receive anything from the Lord unless he opens their eyes. That is my prayer this morning. Say, God, open my eyes. Let me see what I need to see. That's my prayer this morning. Let's pray. Father, I pray you bless the word. And God, we all need open eyes this morning. God, to see and to understand and perceive what's taking place. God, I believe if Christians open their eyes, we'd see that the hour's late. That souls are dying and going to hell. And Father, that, Lord, we don't have much time to do something about it. God, if you open our eyes, we'd see our relationship and our standing and, Lord, how things really are and how you really feel. God, if we opened our eyes, we'd see what's taking place in our nation. God, I pray, give us open eyes. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear and a heart to understand. Bless the word, I pray, Father, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, this morning as I preached on this thought of their eyes were open, their eyes were open. You know, many times when it comes to spiritual things, people are totally blinded. Is that not the truth? I mean, the world, the flesh, and the devil, and sin is what blinds people, and the devil's done a good job of keeping people in darkness. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. How many times have you talked to someone and tried to tell them that they need to be saved and tried to tell them what the Bible says and tried to explain to them, and they say, they'll just look at you like you got three heads and say, I don't get anything you're saying. I just don't understand what you're telling me and what it is I need. I talked with a man one time, and we talked probably for 3 hours. We sat on his swing at his house, and we went from Genesis to Revelation, and we looked at over everything you could possibly look at. And I was trying to explain to him that salvation was the Lord, and you don't get to heaven by being a good person. And after 3 hours, he said, here's what he told me. I just don't see what you believe and what I believe, what the difference between that is. I thought to myself, after 3 hours of explaining everything in the Bible, you still don't understand that salvation is of the Lord and not of yourself? You say, what was the problem? His eyes were closed. When someone's eyes are closed, you cannot get through to them what you're trying to say. It's kind of like when parents are trying to explain something to a teenager, you know? And the teenager's looking at you like they don't have a clue what you're talking about. You ever asked a teenager to go get something? I mean, they'll be looking in the refrigerator, and they can't see anything in the refrigerator. The refrigerator's full, but they can't find it. I remember that commercial. This kid calls up his mom, says, Mom, where's the tacos? And she said, in the fridge. He said, I'm looking in the fridge. She said, all right, look to the right, look to the left, look down, right, and there it is. He just couldn't see it. It was there, but he couldn't see it. You know, that's how it is in life. It's there, but guess what? People can't see it. Their eyes are closed. Their eyes are blinded. You know, the sad thing was, when Jesus Christ came to the nation of Israel, that they cannot see that he was the Messiah. They cannot see that he was the Savior of the world. I mean, it was evident by everything that he did that he was the Almighty God. But they couldn't see it. Their eyes were closed. Their heart was hard. And they couldn't see it. What a sad thing that is. Satan blinds. We know that sin blinds people. Sin blinds people all the time. It blinds them to the things of God. It blinds them to the mercies and the grace of God, to the work of God. And 1 John 2 and verse number 11, the Bible says this, but he that hateth his brothers in darkness and walketh in darkness and knoweth not whither he goeth, because that darkness hath blinded his eyes. You can't say that you're a Christian and you hate everybody coming and going. Well, I don't like black people, and I don't like brown people, and I don't like white people, and I don't like Jews, and I don't like this, and I don't like that. Let me tell you something. That's not a God. That's blindness. That is spiritual blindness. Hey, I don't love people's sin, but I love people. Amen. And there's a difference between those things. I don't hate Muslims. I want Muslims to come to Jesus Christ. I don't hate Hindus. I want them to come to Jesus Christ. I don't hate anybody because of their religious affiliation, because that's not what Christianity is. Amen. See, people get their hearts and their eyes closed because of sin. And they walk in darkness, and darkness blinds their eyes. You say, why? Because hatred is darkness. What is hatred? It's darkness. And hating people just because of their, you know, their skin color, or because of their nationality, or because of their background, or because of their politics, or because, you know, people hate people because of their politics. You understand that? I mean, you get killed because, I mean, my gosh, don't fly a Trump flag and go to San Francisco. you won't live to see tomorrow, right? Don't put a Trump sticker on the back of your car. I mean, can you imagine people would actually want to kill you because you got a Trump sticker on your car? I mean, my gosh. I mean, there's places, if you put an Obama sticker on the back of your car, they do the same thing, right? And we know that that's wrong. That's not Christianity. You say, what is it? That's blindness, and that's darkness. And people get blinded by those things. We know that the devil blinds. He's a deceiver. He's the angel of light. We understand that. We know that sin does the same thing. The more people get involved in sin, they can't see their situation. You ever talk to a meth addict? I mean, their teeth are falling out. They pick their whole face till it's bleeding all over the place. And you say, hey, you got a problem. You need some help. Hey, that meth is killing. Oh, I don't have a problem with meth. Oh, I don't have a problem. I mean, they weigh 100 pounds. Their hair's falling out. Their teeth's falling out. Everything about them, they're dying. They're rotting. But I say, I don't have a problem. You say, why? Because sin blinds people to that. And I don't care what kind of sin you're talking about, any kind of sin, I mean, it blinds people to their circumstances and their situation. And it just does. And that's the sad thing with these men that were on the road to Emmaus. They're blinded. And they can't even see that Jesus Christ is walking with them. They can't even see Jesus Christ. They don't recognize Him. They don't know Him. Their unbelief has blinded them. They know that their testimony was that He is risen from the dead. But they've been blinded by their unbelief. In Romans chapter number 1, if you look there, self-righteousness blinds people. When people feel like they're such a good person and that they don't need God because they're so good. In Romans chapter number 1 and verse 18, the Bible says, "The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth and righteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools." You say, what's the problem? Hey, people's self-righteousness blinds them. I was talking to some people, and they're living in horrible sin, terrible sin. And they said, we're Christians and we love God. And I'm saying, but how in the world do you think you can live in that terrible sin and God be pleased with you? He said, we just want to find a church where we'll feel comfortable. We won't feel convicted. Let me tell you something. There's not a church in the world where you're going to feel comfortable and not feel convicted. Amen. You say, why is that? Because the Word of God convicts all of our hearts. It's the Word of God that awakens us. It's the Bible when preaching that awakens us all to our condition and opens our eyes. But see, sin and self-righteousness. Oh, I love God. I'm a Christian. But, you know, I want my horrible sin to go along with it. And I don't want to feel bad about it. Let me tell you something. Those two things don't go together. They don't go together. And I tell people all the time, hey, get your life straightened out with Jesus Christ. Open your eyes to what God is saying. The sad thing is that the result is always death. The result is always death. When it comes to sin, and it comes to the devil, and it comes to self-righteousness, let me tell you that the result is always the same thing. We know the wages of sin is death. We understand that. And sin always brings death. And lust conceived that bringeth forth sin, and sin when it is finished, bringeth forth death. In Matthew 15 and verse 14, this is what Jesus said, "Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. If the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into a ditch." Spiritual blindness brings destruction. And yet so many people are affected by it. Open eyes speak of spiritual awakening and renewal. In John chapter 9, Jesus, He healed the man that was born blind. And God opened his eyes. And once his eyes were opened physically, his eyes began to be opened spiritually. And you read that whole passage, He reproved the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and the rulers of His day. And He witnessed to them and reasoned with them and told them that Jesus Christ was from God. And they reproved Him and says, "Dost thou teach us? Thou was altogether born in sins." That is a fascinating story. You get down to the end of the story in John chapter 9. And the religious people that were with Jesus, walking with Jesus, who had seen what was done. Here's what happened. It says, and this is what Jesus said. And He said, "Lord, I believe." And He worshipped Him. And Jesus said, "For judgment I come to this world, that they which see not might see, and they which see might be made blind." And some of the Pharisees which were with Him heard these words and said unto Him, "Are we blind also?" And Jesus said unto them, "If you were blind, you should have no sin. But now you say we see, therefore your sin remaineth." You say, what's the problem with so many people? They think they see, but they're spiritually blind. And their sin remains. In our text, these men's eyes were opened. And when their eyes were opened, the first thing they saw was Christ. The first thing they saw was Jesus Christ. I remember the day when my eyes were opened, December 15th, 1979. And the very first thing I saw was Jesus Christ, amen, and Him crucified. You know, this is what the world needs to see. They need to see Jesus Christ. They need to see that He is the Savior of the world, the Savior of all men, the Savior of anyone who comes to Him and asks Him. Until you see that Jesus is the Savior, it doesn't mean anything. These men's lives were not changed until their eyes were opened and they saw Him on a personal level. Can I ask you this morning, when were your eyes opened? When did you see Jesus for the first time? Where did you see Him? What were the circumstances? You know, we call that a personal testimony. I know what I was doing when I got saved. I knew where I was when I got saved. I know what was taking place when I got saved. I was in that car reading that gospel tract, and for the first time in my life, I saw Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world and the soon coming King. And in that car, I asked Jesus Christ to come in my heart and be my Savior. My eyes were opened. And I saw a whole new world. And that changed my life forever. You know what the problem with so many today? They have never seen Jesus Christ. Oh, they've seen the back of a pew, and they've seen a church, and they've seen religion, and they've seen, religious practices, but they've never seen the Lord. They've never had a life-changing experience. These men, when they saw the Lord, their life was changed. See, open eyes does something to you. When God opens your eyes, you see Him as the Savior. Remember the maniac of Gadara? When God opened his eyes, the Bible says he was a wild man that no man could tame. But when God opened his eyes, all of a sudden he was clothed, he was sitting with Jesus, and he was in his right mind. And when Jesus got ready to go, the man said, "Lord, let me go with you." And he said, "No, go home and tell your friends what great things God had done for you." And that man went home and told his entire city about Jesus Christ. You say, why? Because his eyes were opened. Remember in John chapter 4, that woman at the well? I mean, she's got five husbands, and the man she's living with now is not her husband. And she thinks she's a pretty good person. And she asked for this living water, and Jesus said, "I'll give you the living water, but go home and call your husband." And she says, "I don't have a husband." And he said, "You got that right, because the man you're living with is not your husband, and you've had five husbands." She said, "Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Jesus has never met this woman before." And she says, "You must be a prophet if you know that about me." She says, "Well, listen, we worship God. Our fathers worship God in this mountain, Samaria, and you worship God in your mountain in Jerusalem." And Jesus said, "Woman, you don't even know what you're worshiping, for salvation is of the Jews." Then he said, "Hey, listen, God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and truth." And God opened her eyes. She said, "Who is the Messiah?" He said, "It's me that's talking to you." And God opened her eyes. That Bible says she dropped her water pots and she ran to the city and said, "Come see a man which told me all things. Is not this the Christ?" God had opened her eyes. God has to open our eyes. You'll never see Jesus Christ until God opens your eyes. See Him as the Savior. See Him as the Sovereign King. You know, Peter, James, and John, they walked with Jesus, but they didn't know who He was. But God opened their eyes to tell Him. They were following Jesus. And in Matthew chapter 16, if you'll look there, it's not far away, Matthew 16, and they come to this crucial moment in their lives and ministry. And people are saying all kinds of things about Jesus, trying to determine who He is. And in verse number 13, he asked them. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, or others Jeremiah, one of the prophets." And he said to them, "But whom say ye that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. It was God that revealed to him that he was the Son of God. It was God that revealed to him that he was the Son of the Highest. And he said, I say unto thee also, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatsoever thou shalt be loose on earth shall be loose in heaven. He charged the disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ, the anointed of God, the King of Israel. You know, many people see Jesus as a baby in a manger. But he's not in a manger. Many people see him as a dying man on the cross, but he's not on the cross. Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. In Acts chapter number 9, when Paul was on the Damascus Road, he had total spiritual blindness. And God knocked him off of his horse and knocked him off of his mule or donkey or whatever it was and knocked him down to the ground and opened the windows of heaven and spoke unto him and said, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? He said, Who art thou, Lord? He said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. And God opened Paul's eyes on the Damascus Road and he saw Jesus at the right hand of the Father. But you know, all the men that were with him didn't see anything. Only Paul saw the Lord. When Stephen was stoned to death and he looked up into heaven and said, I see Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. No one saw that but Stephen. Because his eyes were opened. You know, most of the world can't see who Jesus is. Because their eyes are not opened. And it's why they do what they do. They can't see him as Savior. They can't see him as Sovereign King. They cannot see him as a solemn judge. A man told me this week, he said, God loves everything. I said, he does. God loves everything? Well, does God love Jack the Ripper? And does he love Saddam Hussein? Does he love Adolf Hitler? Does he love people that murder and kill and rape and do all those? Does God love all those things? I tell you right now, God hates all those things. He hates sin. He hates the wickedness that men and women do. He loves the individual, but he does not love their sin. People don't understand that one day God is going to judge everything and everyone. In John chapter number 5, Jesus Christ had to remind people that he is the judge of all the earth. And this is what he said concerning that. In verse number 19 of John chapter 5, he says, Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever the Father doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son and showeth all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these that ye may marvel. For as the Father raised up the dead and quickeneth them, that means made alive, even so the Son quickeneth whom he will. Jesus can make anyone alive. For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son. That all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father which hath sent him. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. Verily, verily, I say unto you, the hour is coming, and now is, when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Marvel not at this, for the hour is coming, in which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice. And shall come forth they that have done good on the resurrection of life, they that have done evil on the resurrection of damnation. I can of my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which hath sent me. There's two resurrections there. And there's two judgments there. You have the judgment of the Christian at the rapture, called the judgment seat of Christ. That's the first resurrection. The second resurrection is the great white throne judgment, where death and hell are judged, and all the dead are judged, and everything, man that ever lived, who did not raise in the first resurrection will be judged at the final resurrection. His judgment will be just. And His judgment will be true. And at that day, everyone will see that He's the judge. You remember what happened to that rich man who died and went to hell? What's the Bible? What's the first thing that says about him? He was buried, and in hell, he lifted up what? His eyes. Everyone in hell's eyes are open. And they see spiritual truth like they have never seen it before. Wouldn't it have been good if his eyes would have been open before he died? So he would not have had to have gone to that place of death and judgment and misery and suffering. Wasn't it funny that he said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus to my house that he may warn, if I have five brothers, that he may warn them of this place. And what did Father Abraham say? He said, they got Moses and the prophets. He said, nay, Father Abraham, if one went from the dead, they'll repent. And he said, no, they won't. He said, if they won't hear Moses and the prophets, they won't hear one if one went from the dead. Remember when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead after he'd been dead 4 days? What did the people want to do after Jesus raised him from the dead? They wanted to kill him again. If we dragged someone straight out of hell this morning and brought them up with smoke and fire going off their body, there'd be people that would still not believe. You know why? Because their eyes are shut. I said, God, open our eyes. God, help us open our eyes. Open these guys' eyes. And they saw Jesus Christ. And what did they say? Did not our hearts burn within us? When God opens your eyes, man, you begin to see. Not only do you see Christ, but you begin to see your own condition. Their hearts burned within them because the Holy Ghost was speaking to their hearts. When I'm in a service and the Holy Ghost speaking to me, my heart burns within me. And God opens my eyes. I can be somewhere and the preacher be preaching, all of a sudden God will say, and I'm thinking, well, they need that. And God will tap me on the shoulder and say, no, that's not for them, that's for you. And I said, Lord, that's for me. And then the Lord brings it right back to me, the very thing I did. It says, yeah, that's for you. You did that. And I'm under such conviction at that moment. The preacher didn't know I did that, but God knew I did that. And I had brushed it off as nothing. And God said, no. Open your eyes, Brother Chris. Open your eyes, preacher. Open your eyes, pastor. That was you. Isn't that what God had to do to David? I mean, David hears the story from Nathan the prophet about the man who took another man's ewe, a little ewe lamb, and killed it, and he wouldn't kill one of his own. And David got mad and said, the man that have done this, he's going to pay fourfold because he had no mercy. And Nathan said, it's you, David. It's you. You got 12 wives. And you stole Uriah's wife. And you had him killed. It's you, David. It's you. You can't even see that it's you. And David bowed his head and said, I have sinned. And I got to die. And God said, David, you're not going to die, but you're going to pay for that. Did David pay for it? Oh, he paid for it. That baby died. Amnon died. Absalom died. He paid for that. Tamar was raped. He paid for that. And Adonijah died. 4 children died. And 1 life was ruined. because David couldn't see. He's a man after God's own heart, and he couldn't see that he had a problem. You know, if you're the greatest Christian in the world, you can still have your eyes closed to the Lord. Amazing me how many Christian people can't see that they got a problem. You can be a Christian and love Jesus Christ and your eyes still be closed to your own problems. How many Christian men, how many pastors have done everything for everyone else's family and couldn't even see that their own family had a problem? I'm amazed. Don't get mad at me now because I'm going to tell you a spiritual, I'm going to tell you a truth. People, we can get so mad at everyone else's kids, but we never get mad at our own. Isn't that funny? We can see everyone else's kids doing something wrong. Every little thing they do, we can see it. But we can't see when our own kids are wreaking havoc. You know why that is? Because we become blind to our own little situation. We can point out the wrong that everyone else is doing, but we can't see our own wrong. What did Jesus say? He gave that parable. Hey, you want to pluck the mote out of your brother's eye, but you can't see the beam that is in your own. The 2x4 that's in you, you get that splinter out of someone else's eye, but you got a 2x4 in your own eye. You know, it's kind of like Congress, Nancy Pelosi, Chuck Schumer, and Donald Trump. Don't they all got some serious problems? they got serious problems. But they can only point out the problem that the other person has. It's hilarious. It's like the women's march in Louis Farrakhan. They want to talk about inequalities and then they want to uphold Louis Farrakhan, who's an avowed racist, an avowed abuser of women. And I'm thinking, how come they can't see that this guy has a problem? He calls people termites and cockroaches and pigs. You say, what's the problem? Their eyes are closed. Their eyes are closed. You see, we as Christian people, our eyes can be closed. These disciples have walked with Jesus for 3.5 years, and they're now walking with him on the road to Emmaus, but they can't see that they're going the wrong direction. They can't see that something's wrong in their life. Because their eyes are not open. They think everyone else has a problem, but they don't have a problem. And they're on their way, going the wrong direction, away from God. And they can't even see it. That's the problem that sinners have. The Bible says, but we are always an unclean thing, and all our righteousness is filthy rags. We all to fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away. And people can't see that. They can't see that they have a problem. Romans 5:6-8 says, for when we were out without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commends love towards him. While we are sinners, Christ died for us. You know, it's amazing when God opens your eyes, you know the difference between right and wrong. You know, when I got saved, no one had to tell me what sin was. When I got saved, I remember the first time I cussed after I got saved. And I was one of those guys that cussed every second of the day. And I would use God's name in vain. And I used God's name in vain, and the Lord said, what did you say? And I put my hand over my mouth. And I thought, and I said, God, I'm so sorry. The preacher didn't tell me that. The church didn't tell me that. The Christians didn't tell me that. The Holy Spirit told me that because now my eyes were open. And I said, that is not how I'm supposed to talk. First time I had that beer in my hand, which was the next Saturday. The following Saturday, I went out with my buddies and I had that beer in my hand. And the Holy Spirit said, what are you doing? And all of a sudden, it didn't taste the same. I'm honest to God. It did not taste the same. And I'm looking at that, and I'm in my hot rod car, and I'm with my buddies, but now I'm a child of God, and my eyes have been opened. And I'm looking at that little king's beer, and I said, something's wrong with this picture.
And I put it out the window when they weren't looking, and I dumped it out. And I stayed till about 2 in the morning, and I got in my car and I went home. And I said, this is not where I'm supposed to be on Saturday. You know why I'm not supposed to be there on Saturday? Because where am I supposed to be on Sunday? I'm supposed to be at church on Sunday. No one told me that. The preacher didn't call me up and say, you going to be at church Sunday? Now, you know I don't call everybody and ask them if they're coming on Sunday. You know why? Because your eyes are supposed to be open. You know where you're supposed to be. Amen. It's God that tells you you're supposed to be there. I remember they said we were having a casual service. We're going to have a singing. Just be casual and come as you are. I thought they meant it. I hadn't been saved long at all. I had short shorts where my pocket showed. And I walked into church and I looked around. I had a t-shirt on, a white undershirt on, with my short shorts. And I looked around and I said, God said, are your eyes open yet? And I said, they didn't mean that. That ain't what they meant. And I was so ashamed and embarrassed, I couldn't wait for the service to get over. I didn't leave, but I never went that way again. That was a first and only. Preacher didn't tell me nothing. Congregation didn't tell me nothing. They said, Brother Chris, we're glad you're here tonight. But the Holy Ghost had opened my eyes and I said, It was the Holy Ghost that said, next time I open that porn magazine, the Holy Ghost said, No. No. Porn is not for the child of God. The Holy Ghost said, hey, open your eyes. What are you looking at? And God said, I said, you're right, God. We're getting rid of all of it. It was God that said, get rid of that cigar. It was God that said, get rid of that chewing tobacco. It was God that said, hey, there's some things you got to change in your life. You know why? Because God had opened my eyes. And I wasn't seeing things like I'd seen them before. These guys needed their eyes open. They're backslidden. They're going the wrong direction. They will not believe. Mary done told them. Jesus rose from the dead and the angel said, he is not here, he's risen. Peter and John have ran to the tomb. They've seen the grave clothes. They know that he's not there. The stone's been rolled away. They're supposed to be waiting in Jerusalem in the upper room. But they're on the road to Emmaus. And Jesus walking next to them and they don't even know it. Because their eyes aren't open. They're backslidden. They don't even know it. And all of a sudden, as Jesus prays and breaks the bread, their eyes are opened. And they say, that is Jesus. What are we doing? You know, it's always amazing to me when Christian people are backslid have an epiphany. You say, what is that? They wake up and realize and say, what have I been doing with my life? What have I been doing with my life? I have seen so many Christian people over the years that were going the wrong direction, got away from God, and they finally opened their eyes and said, what am I doing? I need to be in church. Hey, I need to be living for Jesus. I need to be doing the right thing. And all of a sudden, their life's different forever. Brother Butch is right up there in our... Right up there. Brother Butch had an epiphany one day. And you know what he realized? First of all, he realized he wasn't saved. And the next thing he realized, he needed to be in church. And then he realized, hey, I need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. And he did, right here. What did God do? Opened his eyes. If God ever opens your eyes, your life's going to be different. God ever opens your eyes, your life's going to be different. And you'll find yourself where you're supposed to be. These men, they knew what they needed to do.
The Bible says in verse 31, their eyes were opened and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while we opened thus the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen, hath appeared to Simon. And they told them what things were done in the way and how he was known to them in breaking of bread. You get your eyes open, you'll know what you need to do. And all of a sudden, everything will be different in your life. That Bible will mean something to you. Prayer will mean something to you. The church will mean something to you. I mean, everything when it comes to the thing, all of a sudden, you will be alive to the things you haven't been to alive to in years. But your eyes got to be open. You know what my prayer is? God, open my eyes sooner than later. Because the sooner your eyes are open, the happier you're going to be. The longer your eyes are shut, the more lasting damage you'll have in your life. Their eyes were open to their condition. Their eyes were open to their calling. And that was soul seeking the lost and showing the way of salvation. You know, everyone plays a part in God's economy. Everyone plays a part in God's economy. Paul said, some plant, some water, but God giveth the increase. Everyone has a part in serving God. Everyone has a part. In 1 Corinthians chapter number 12, the Bible talks about the body of Christ and our place in the body of Christ. And the Bible says this, now there are, verse 4, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. There are the diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. For to one is given the Spirit of word by wisdom, to another word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of the spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. But all these things worketh that one and selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. There are all kinds of gifts. And God gives to every man a gift. He says, are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, all workers of miracles, have all gifts of healings, do all speak with tongues, do all interpret? He said, hey, there's gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversity of tongues. But the fact of the matter is, everybody plays a part. You know, if everyone opened their eyes, they'd all understand that everyone has a part to play. You realize even in this church, everyone plays some part. You say, it doesn't matter if I'm not here. Yes, it does. Because everybody plays a part in this church. Everybody plays a part in Christianity. And God has a place for everyone. But you know what? So many people can't see their place. They don't think they have a place because their eyes are closed. And if they open your eyes, you'll see that God has something for you to do. And God has a place for you to serve. These two on the road to Emmaus were not one of the 11. They were not apostles. But they had a place to serve. And it was in the early church in Jerusalem where they were supposed to be, not on the road to Emmaus. I said, God, open our eyes that we can see that we're going the right direction with our life. Because your life is taking you somewhere, but where is it taking you? It's either taking you to God or it's taking you away from God. Where is it taking you?